Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of 1 Chronicles with Pastor Dave. In today's study, Pastor Dave will be taking us through 1 Chronicles chapter 20, where we see that God's Spirit is so faithful to us in our daily lives that even when we are flirting with sin, He will always send a rooster to crow, saying, "You are not where you are supposed to be." More on that now. Let's pick up with Pastor Dave in 1 Chronicles chapter 20.
Listen, kings and king sons and king daughters are supposed to be engaged in the war. There is no honorable discharge for any of you here tonight. You're breathing, you're alive, you know Jesus, you're saved. Then you need to, the safest place for you to be is not on your balcony watching, but in the battle. Okay? You need to get in the battle. You were not just saved so that you can go to heaven when you die. You are here as a Christian to be light and salt. You need to get in the battle. It's safer for you in the battle with missiles flying and arrows hitting you or bouncing off of you because the armor of God is on you than it is for you to be on the sidelines watching your brothers and sisters fight. And I can't do it alone. My board can't do it alone. We need you. You guys are places that we don't go. You're received by people that won't receive us. Every single one of you is needed tonight. And I get it. Some of you have been wounded. Some of you have been hurt. Some of you have been stumbled. Some of you could say, "Oh, my pastor, he let me down. The church I went to before, you know, they didn't do things right. So I'm still healing from that." I understand there's a time and there's a place for that. But get over it and get back in because Jesus didn't do anything to you to fail you. He deserves all of you. He deserves all of you. David is tarrying at Jerusalem. And you know what happened. He's at least 50 years old, if not older. Everything is smooth sail in his walk with the Lord, if you would, at this point. He's subduing nations. He's erected his palace there in Jerusalem. He's built a tent, a tabernacle for the Shekinah glory. And because he's not where he's supposed to be, he sees what he's not supposed to see, and he goes after what is not his to go after. Uriah, one of his mighty man's wife, Bathsheba. And he takes her, and he goes in unto her, and he impregnates her. And instead of getting right before the Lord and repenting of his sin, he devises a terrible plan and has Joab, his commander, send Uriah to the front line of the battle and retreat his army from supporting him so that Uriah is dead. And within a year, David goes from being a psalm writer, songwriter, worship leader, this great man of God, to being an adulterer and to being a murderer and being a father to a baby that dies. There's a year space between that and him going and subduing the Ammonites and David taking Rabbah, the head of the Ammonites that you read that Joab did here. There's a time period. You go back to 2 Samuel. It's not Joab. Joab freezes the battle. There's a stalemate. Joab's about to conquer the city. They take the lower parts of the city, 2 Samuel tells us, which is actually probably written by David according to Levitical tradition. And they take they cut the water supply off from the city. Joab puts a halt on them fully sieging it. He sends to David and says, "You better come and lead our people in so that they're not saying this is Joab's victory, but it's your victory." And there's this space between that event and this event where it says that David tarried. He's not where he's supposed to be. He's not looking at the score. He's not looking at time. And he's certainly not paying attention to his position. And he gets duffed by the enemy. Man, this is a guy who knew God like it was nobody's business. A guy who walked with God like it was nobody's business. But there he is, not manning his post, being faithful to be where God would have him to be in that season. And he fails miserably with consequences that I do not have the time to get into tonight. But his life would be, to some degree, forever ruined. His children will not respect him again the way that they once did. There will be anarchy in his home. Absalom alone will be a headache that nobody could handle. Amnon will rape Tamar. Joab, I think, loses respect for David. This is Joab's turning point, I believe, when David commissioned Uriah to go to the front line of the battle, and he retreats the rest of the army. I think at that point, Joab said, I can't with you anymore. It tells us in Genesis and in Hebrews that Enoch walked with God. And then he was not, for he was taken. And I told you guys on Sunday that speaks to you and I as New Testament Christians of a spirit-filled life. We've got to be spirit-filled and we've got to be spirit-led in our walk with Jesus. And it's got to be, listen please, it's got to be a thing that even influences us taking our post. Okay, I gave you all sorts of examples of what it is to be spirit-filled and spirit-led. I talked to you about how to walk with Jesus practically. If you're here on Sunday, if you weren't, you can listen online. But listen, tonight, I want to say this to you. A lot of walking with Jesus is being sensitive to his impressions and his leadings to you in your life of getting to where you got to be. And I believe this, you know where you're supposed to be the most of the time. I believe that even if you're carnal as could be tonight, I believe that even if you're not in the word like you should be and in prayer and in fellowship like you ought to be, I believe that you know because of the power of God's spirit in your life, if you're saved, that you know just by peace and absence of peace, because that's the umpire. That's what calls balls and strikes. You know by the presence of peace, okay, I got to do this, and the absence of peace, I'm not supposed to be doing this. I can remember being in the world and being in full-blown sin, not reading the Bible for years, and I still knew what was right and wrong. Every time I would fool around with a girl or go to a place I shouldn't be or put something into my body that I shouldn't put into me, I always felt sick till I got to the place of being numb enough to be able to do it. You know what I'm talking about, child of God. You, the rooster, will always crow in your life. God's spirit is so faithful. And we know, don't we, for the most part. I understand that there are gray areas sometimes about specificity. God, is the timing right now? Is this the exact thing? But for the most part, in our walks with Jesus, we know where we're supposed to be. David knew where he was supposed to be, and he wasn't there. I just feel like this impression that is otherworldly tonight, to just say to you over and over and over again, get to where you're supposed to be before it's too late. Get to your positioning. Get to your positioning. To whatever that means, for whatever that means, to whoever you are tonight. Listen, I wake up at 5 this morning. It's Wednesday. My mind right away says it's Wednesday. You got to get up and you got to start prepping. My prep for Wednesday night starts at 5 a.m. on Wednesday mornings. I hit snooze 3 or 4 times. I could not get out of bed this morning. 5:30, I wake up again, but this time not my alarm, but to a text message from our brother in the Lord, from our church, who says, my son is dead. Here's my address. Please come now. Get up, brush my teeth, throw my hoodie on, throw my sweatpants on. I say, Lord, I just need you to give me something real fast here. Open my proverb of the day like 4 times in a row. It's my son, my son, my son. I think, oh my Lord, that's insane. Lord, you're talking to me. My son, Lord, you're speaking about my son in the proverb. This guy says, my son. I go upstairs. I check to make sure my son, my daughters are okay. And I leave the house. I just start praying. Say, Lord, this is your will. This is where I need to be. It doesn't matter if I'm here all day and I go to Bible study from there. Lord, I'm going to where I'm supposed to be. I can't get to a, listen to me. I'm talking to you experientially tonight so that none of you think I'm doing this, but I'm doing this for me too. For me, getting to where I'm supposed to be wasn't out of bed with another woman this morning other than my wife. It wasn't putting down substance. We think this. I'm clean. Pastor, what do you want me? Where do you want me to go? I don't get drunk anymore. Everyone wants to do that. I don't get drunk. I don't have sex outside of marriage. I don't really watch porn. I don't do this. That. I'm not talking about that. Spirit-filled life is where God's spirit has control over you every single day. Like where he has your attention so much that he could just, because time's short. And he could just impress on your heart, like this is what you got to do right now. So for me, I'm driving there to Hamlin today, 27 miles. I'm driving there in the dark, and I'm thinking, Lord, there was almost like a lightness to my day where there should have been absolute heaviness. I'm going where I know I'm supposed to be, and I'm going to go for however long I'm supposed to be there for. And being in the midst of this scene that I won't overly describe to you, but being there, taking it in, ministering to mom and ministering to dad, and watching their son be taken out of one of their bedrooms in a body bag, and just trusting God, you called me to, I don't understand, I'm not equipped in myself to do this, God, but I know that this is what I'm on the earth for. This is what I'm here for. And I'm just ministering. And I leave there and I come to church and I open the word. And I'm like, Lord, where are we even in our study for Wednesday nights? And I look at this and I see the danger of not being where you're supposed to be. And I just say, God, that's it. That's what everyone needs to hear tonight. We all have a place that we need to be and we need to get there now. That's it. For me, you're not the senior pastor here, so this won't relate to you exactly. But for me, it's this. You're not just the Bible teacher, the face of the church. You're not just, we hear pastors say all the time, I'm here to pray and read. Sort of. That's one portion of what the scripture says the pastors are to do, but my goodness, is that one abused? I'm also to go and be with the mother and the father of somebody whose kid just died. I'm also to go to the hospital. I'm also to be there with you guys in different seasons as much as I humanly can be there. I can't get to a place where I'm up here and I only do these things and I don't have contact with you, the sheep of the flock here. I'm the shepherd. Shepherds are supposed to be among the sheep. I don't care if this church turns into 5,000 people or 15,000 people. God help me, and may one of my staff rebuke me if I get to a place where I'm never contacting with you guys. My calling is to be among you guys as much as I can within reason, within balance. So for me this morning, there was more danger, I believe, to not go there and to delegate that and to get ready and to go to the gym and to come home and then go to work and go about my day just so that I can stay in the frame of what I always do for preparation for tonight. It would have been more dangerous to be in my office today than it would have been to be in Hamlin with somebody who just lost their son. Do you understand that? I would have been worse for me. It means that it's so much more than me not being physically or geographically where I'm supposed to be. It's telling of my heart. Hear what I'm saying to you tonight. You have a post, man. There's not a one of you here tonight that can dismiss yourself from it. It doesn't matter if you failed. It doesn't matter if you've messed stuff up really bad and other people don't respect you anymore. It doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter what your physical abilities are or aren't. It doesn't matter what your education is, what your line of work is. Listen, there is no excuse that you will come up with that will pardon you from the battle. If you're really that useless, he'll take you. And only you could minister the way that God wants to minister through you to the place that he has you. You can't come in and be me. It ain't going to happen. And I can't come in and be you. It's not going to happen. We are all fearfully and wonderfully made, and we are all equipped with different giftings and anointings and callings. And listen, just like the moon has scars and Mars and all sorts of divots in it, and it's super ugly, what does the moon do? The moon reflects the sun, and it gives light. We all got scars. We all got divots. We all got things that we hate and we're embarrassed of. But who really cares as long as we are staying in the direct light of the light and we're reflecting that light to the earth, to the world all around us? Who really cares? God takes it and he uses it. He takes it and he uses it. David was not where he was supposed to be. It ruined his life. You got to start thinking this way. If I talk this way in front of the guys at work, it's going to stumble them. They know I profess Jesus. You got to start thinking that way. I can't, not in this service. I don't know what I'll be like on Sunday, not tonight. I'm not babying anybody tonight. You're at a midweek Bible study. I scan the room. I know most of your faces, not all of them. And I'm not saying this to anyone specifically, and I don't tailor my messages to anybody. That would be satanic. I don't do that. I'm speaking to you from heaven tonight. You all have to listen to this and hear what I'm trying to say to you. You do not need to be coddled. You need to awaken and walk in the Spirit, and you need to stop thinking about just you and what brings you pleasure. You need to stop being a chameleon. You need to stop trying to worry about fitting in and being liked and being popular. Ain't going to happen. They hated Jesus, they're going to hate you. And if they don't, if everybody always likes you and agrees with everything that you're doing nothing. It's not even about being a Christian. Because I hear that too. Well, that sounds crazy. Why would I even want to be a Christian? Hang on a minute. It has nothing to do with being a Christian. It has to do with being anything of anything in life. If you don't have any haters, then you're not doing anything. It's only the people who are doing something that have opposition and haters. You know that. The people who do nothing have nobody's got anything to say against them because they're not doing anything. It's the people that are doing something. There's somebody who has something to say about it. Nobody's going to have somebody, you know, be doing something where everybody loves it and likes it. It's never going to ever happen. Not even Jesus. You have to stop trying to fit in. You have to let it go. You have to let it go. I have to let it go. We have to let it go. Where if they want to talk about us, if they want to lambaste us, if they want to turn against us, if they want to spin it and twist it and do whatever they want to do, so be it for the glory of God. As long as we're not seeking to be obnoxious in it, so be it for the glory of God. Enough's enough. Score, time, position. You got to start thinking this way. What am I posting on my story? What am I posting on Instagram? What am I posting on Facebook, on Twitter? You got to start thinking. It matters. It matters how you talk. It matters how you walk. It matters how you dress. It matters how you live your lifestyle. Because the world around you is watching. When Nathan goes to David's house after he sins here, he says, "You have given the heathen great occasion to mock the Lord." We don't have those bits here. You want to know why? Because Ezra is the writer of Chronicles. You want to know what Ezra means? Comforter. You want to know who's the comforter of the Holy Spirit? And the Holy Spirit, after we repent of our sins, never seeks to make a spectacle of us. So it's not the author's agenda in Chronicles to do that. That happens in Samuel, because the author of 2 Samuel most likely is David. And David tells the truth about David there for that purpose. But the writer here, Ezra, who means comforter, who's a type of the Holy Spirit, that's not his agenda here. He's writing to post-exilic people that came out of Babylon for 70 years to try to say to them, like David, God will be faithful to you too when you repent and you get back to your post. Because when David repents and gets back to his post, that he goes and he deals with the Ammonites and he beats Rabbah's butt and God gives him victory and raises his hand once again. Do you all know that? It doesn't just go like this, like, oh, David's having sex with Bathsheba, and he's over here having sex with her, Joab's over there whooping the Ammonites. That's not how the story goes. It goes like this, as I've told you. David's fooling around. David kills Uriah. David's baby dies. A year of time goes on, and Joab is fighting against Israel's enemies. He gets into a place where they're almost done, and then he goes and gets David, and David repents and writes Psalm 51. And after the Lord delivers him and redeems him, he goes with Israel and he leads them into conquest, like he'll do with you tonight. Like he'll do with you tonight. He'll raise your hand once again. How amazing is that? How many of us give up on each other or other people? I can't do it anymore. They've not been watching the score. They haven't known the time, and their positioning's been terrible. They're out of the lineup. Got some JV kid. I brought up a modified kid. They'll take their spot. These kids stink. I can't deal with them. How many of us would do that? The most of us. Probably all of us. Not Jesus. He is the essence of grace. He is grace personified. He is grace, and he is truth. And he stands in the room tonight, as it were. His word is heralded. It's proclaimed. And he says this to you, and he says this to me. If you will give me yourself again afresh, and you'll awaken to this word, I will reinstate you at your repentance, and I will lift your hand in victory once again. And I'll crown you with crowns of righteousness. I'll have them all stacked up waiting for you so that when you enter into my presence, it's well done, my good and faithful servant. Thank God it's not my good and faultless servant. My good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord, and there will be a ceremony where the king hands out crowns to the king's kids. And we'll be rewarded. We'll be rewarded for being ousted of the clique. We'll be rewarded for standing for righteousness in the neighborhood. Young ladies, we'll be rewarded for not putting out to that guy who put so much pressure on you to not be a prude. Because it's just real. This is an adult Bible study, and it's just what happens when you walk with Jesus. You'll be rewarded for putting down the substance and giving Jesus a chance to be your all in all. You'll be rewarded for hanging in there when your family turned against you and told you that you were self-righteous and you were a Bible thumper and you were a buzzkill to the family gatherings at Christmas. You'll be rewarded. You'll be rewarded for taking the alcohol that has taken control over you, if you're being honest with yourself, and dumping it down the drain because you couldn't take the drink. The drink took you when you took the drink. You have the liberty not to drink, not to be able to drink. You've had it twisted, but now you're getting it right tonight, and you pour it out down the drain tonight. You'll be rewarded for it. You'll be rewarded for teaching the children. Five kids on a freezing, cold, nasty, dark, dreary night. You'll be rewarded for it. You'll be rewarded for coming to the church. Guys that shovel and salt and do things where at times, like, man, does anybody even know that I'm out here salting the parking lot? And I don't even know if this is the right salt. I hear that there's different kinds of salt. You'll be rewarded. You'll be rewarded as you're scraping ice and starting cars and walking ladies with an umbrella to their vehicles. You'll be rewarded for turning the pornography off. You'll be rewarded for it. You'll be rewarded, those of you who lead us in worship. And I know what it's like to be on the stage in front of a crowd. And sometimes the congregation's going through things where they don't enter in. And you people that lead worship, I can't imagine what it must feel like sometimes when it might feel like only you are worshiping and nobody else in the room is. God will reward you. You'll be rewarded in the sound booth. Nobody even knows that you're back there. Rewarded at the doors, opening them and welcoming people in when you yourself don't even feel like being here. You'll be rewarded. You'll be rewarded by the King. And you'll join the company of the likes of David. And you'll be able to exchange stories with him, and you'll find out that he too was a man of like passions just like you. And by the grace of God, he enters in. People's lives are on the line based on what you do with your life. It's heavy, but you got to bear it. It's not just the pastors, it's not just the elders, it's not just the deacons, it's not just the board of directors. People's lives are on the line based on how you live your life. You young girls, you young guys, you old men, you old ladies, and everybody in between. People's lives are on the line based on what we do with our lives.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. During this unprecedented time in our nation, we are adhering to the guidelines set up by our government to be able to conduct services while still keeping our fellowship as safe as possible. If you would like to know how to attend a service or any other news here at the church, we would encourage you to go to Instagram, Facebook, and ccwestside.com to find out more about what is going on currently at the church. If you are unable to attend a service, we will be continuing to live stream our services so you can be blessed in the comfort of your own home. If you do not have access to social media, we would encourage you to call the church office and someone will be happy to answer any questions you may have. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. That's 585-352-3150. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. In Luke 19:10, it says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It's our prayer at CC Westside that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ.